Well, federal governments are formed in the House of Representatives, so that is, of course, the major battleground in this campaign for Scott Morrison and Bill Shorten. But the capacity of any government to legislate its agenda has for decades now been at the mercy of the Senate. And regardless of who wins this weekend's election, that looks like being the story again, with very little prospect that either major party will control the upper house. So what does the Senate battle look like? Political reporter Melissa Clark joined me. So, Mel, let's start with a quick reminder about the voting process for the Senate, because it is different from the House of Reps.
That's right. So this is a half-Senate election, so there'll be 6 seats per state and 2 per territory up for grabs. Now, to get one of those seats, you will need a full quota, so that means you need 14.3% of the vote in your jurisdiction in the states. For territories, it means you need a third of the votes. Now, the rules changed since the last federal election. You now have to put at least 6 preferences above the line or at least 12 below. So there's no more of the one vote above the line and then often preference deals sorted out what happened after that. Now the vote is directed more by you, the voter, and it means it's much harder for micro-parties like Ricky Muir from the Motoring Enthusiasts to get in on a tiny proportion of the vote. That's much less likely to happen now. So what we're probably going to see in most of the states is you can usually count on there being, of those 6, 2 going to the Liberal Party or the Liberal and Nationals on a joint ticket, 2 going to the Labor Party, and then it gets competitive down for those final 2 spots.
So the contest in Queensland has had the most attention because Clive Palmer has spent tens of millions of dollars in his bid for a Senate seat. Is he likely to pick up a seat?
It is actually possible. What we're looking at in Queensland is probably 2 seats to the Labor Party, probably 1 to the Greens ahead of a 3rd Labor person. So that would be the current Green Senator Larissa Waters getting returned. On the Conservative side of the equation, we can expect 2 LNP senators to be elected. And so it's that 6th spot that we're not sure about. It could be Clive Palmer. Polling suggests he's getting around 4% of the vote at the moment. And if the other minor parties in contention get less than him, then preferences could flow to him. But Pauline Hanson's One Nation Party is polling at similar levels. That could put Malcolm Roberts back in the game. Fraser Anning, former Pauline Hanson One Nation senator, now of his own party, the Conservative Nationals, is also pushing hard to get that spot. And the LNP still has hopes that they could pick it up with their 3rd candidate, Jared Rennick. So it's pretty hard to predict amongst those who will get the most votes, but Palmer is certainly a chance.
And so there are quite a few conservative and right-wing parties competing in the same space there. Will they make an impact in other states?
Western Australia actually has a strikingly similar scenario, probably 2 seats to the ALP, 1 to the Greens, 2 to the Coalition, and then that question mark over the 6th seat when you have a fairly competitive ground there between Pauline Hanson, One Nation's candidate, Peter Georgiou, the United Australia Party, that's Clive Palmer's party. They have a candidate there who could well poll strongly, given we've had a Palmer senator from WA in the past. There's also Rod Cullerton, who used to be a One Nation senator. He started his own party. So WA is another case here. But this contest, it isn't just happening on the Conservative side. If we look at a jurisdiction like Victoria, there's certainly a fight over those final seats that involve Darren Hinch and his Justice Party. Not as easy for him as last time he was elected because of those rule changes. But in Victoria, we've also got a really tight contest between what is effectively a 3rd seat on the Progressive side. So between the 3rd Labor candidate, Gavin Marshall, could he get up, or will he be bumped out by the Green Senator Janet Rice, who's looking for re-selection?
Okay, so we could see minor parties and independents pick up some Senate seats. What will that mean for the next government?
Well, it means that, look, it's highly unlikely that either the Coalition or the Labor Party will have a majority in the Senate. We haven't seen that since the Howard era. It means that whoever comes in could find themselves dealing with a crossbench that has Clive Palmer and Brian Burston, One Nation's Peter Georgiou joining Pauline Hanson. Now, they would make a pretty formidable right-wing bloc. But it's also possible that either the Coalition or Labor could have to deal with any combination of Darren Hinch, maybe Skye Kokoschke-Moore for the Centre Alliance in South Australia. She's another possibility, as well as the Greens and Jackie Lambie. Look, they could be powerful if a group of these crossbenchers end up working as a bloc, but they come from very disparate backgrounds and have different priorities, it could be really chaotic. However, there is also the possibility that having such different voices on the crossbench in the Senate might mean it's easier for the major parties to actually work with each other. The Coalition and Labor might find it easier to negotiate just with one another and deal with one set of demands rather than trying to herd cats, as it might be, with a disparate crossbench. So maybe there's some hope there for a well-functioning Senate.
Melissa Clark, our political reporter in Canberra.